Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Here we go with the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you got over there yesterday to check out the blog. If not, it's still there for you, so swing on by. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with the three.
So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, we had another, I guess we can call it big signing by your Chicago Cubs. This time they pick up an outfielder, and to be fair, they needed an outfielder, so it's kind of understandable. But they added Jake Mariznick on a, I believe it was a 1-year deal. I actually didn't see terms of the deal, but I believe that it was just for 1 year. Did you happen to see terms or anything about the deal?
No.
So, you know, I can tell, obviously, you know, you're very excited about it. You know, just from your reaction, I'm looking here to see if I could find anything, but it doesn't look like there's anything right here off the top. I'll have to do a little search in and see if I can find out more.
Trouble spelling his last name.
Yeah, it's not the easiest name to spell. Yeah, it's a 1-year deal with a mutual option for 2020. It looks like the salary is $1.5 million, but there's some incentives on it. So they're not going to be paying him a ton, which is, you know, a good thing. And of course, he's a very good defender. Unfortunately, though, he just hasn't had a ton of success as a hitter. So I don't know. Well, you know, I remember him as an Astro, but it's possible he started as a Pirate. Let me see. No, a couple years with Miami, then 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 with Houston, and he was with the Mets last year. He only played in 16 games due to injury. He's a career 229 hitter, Dan, so I don't know how well that is gonna help out. But again, he's a very good defender, can play all three outfield positions, which is definitely, you know, something they need at this time. So we'll see how it works out and what they end up doing with him, but at least they have a set of four outfielders now, and I was just kind of hoping that would get you going and excited for Cubs season, but I guess not, huh?
Oh, well, I mean, what was it? Two weekends ago, in preparation of February 2nd, I watched Bill Murray's Groundhog Day, and is that not a fitting transition or segue, seeing as I feel like I'm in Groundhog Day circa 2012 or 13.
Yeah, probably. So
I mean, if you think about it, everything they've done just screams what they did, except the fact that Jed didn't come out and say we weren't spending any money and then sign a 35-year-old pitcher to a 5-6-year deal worth $50 million.
So, you know, and then, I mean, to make it seem even more like that, now that the, you know, the Mets have missed out on all the big-name free agents, they are apparently very interested in acquiring Chris Bryant. So we'll see if maybe they can finally get something done, you know, when it comes to Bryan. It seems like this has been going on forever. So maybe, you know, maybe something will come up, but who knows?
Well, you know, I mean, the Tigers don't have a third baseman to send back, seeing as the Cubs picked up Sergio Alcantara, the Detroit's, you know, third baseman position. I don't know much about this kid. You know, maybe they'll send back Jamer.
There you go.
To play third for the Cubs. But, I mean, I don't know, Big Jack. You kind of look at what they did. You know, January 15th, and we've talked about this. January 15th is when they avoided arbitration with Zach Davies, former Brewer. That fits into the Cubs way, right? Doing things.
Yeah.
To avoid arbitration. Contreras avoids arbitration. Bryant and Baez all avoid arbitration on the 15th. And they go and sign Shelby Miller 2 days later to a minor league contract. That's going to be a throwaway. But on the 22nd, that's when they went and signed Austin Romine for the one-year contract. You know, I can't really see any other catchers in this system. I'm assuming Romine will be the everyday catcher once Wilson Contreras and Chris Bryant are in Detroit. Well, unless Detroit wants to take on Jason Hayward. So, I mean, you know, I'm just being a smartass, jackass, whatever you want to call me right now, but all signs point to another couple seasons with 100 losses. So I urge my fellow Cub fans, if we're able to go, don't go. Just don't go. Don't support a team that is in the third largest market that can do anything they want, similar to the Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers, but yet we're sitting here talking about transactions that seem like the Pirates and the Royals would be doing right now. I've got to take five. I'll be right back.
Okay. And then while, you know, Dan actually brought up the Red Sox, well, they finally traded Andrew Benintendi. Yeah, it ended up being a three-team deal. Benintendi goes to the Royals. In return, the Red Sox receive Frenchie Cordero, an outfielder, and right-handed pitcher Josh Winkowski. The Mets and Boston will also receive three players to be named later, two from Kansas City and one from the Mets, who were the third team in the deal. What the Mets get is Kalil Lee, an outfield prospect. So finally, you know, it took a little bit, but you know, it worked out, and you know, they ended up you know, getting the job done here. So We'll see how it works out, and I think Benintendi was ready for a new start. You know, he had some struggles last year. You know, I know he was injured and he really struggled at the plate. He only played 14 games and he hit .003. You know, but you got to remember, was he the fifth pick, the seventh pick? What was he? Let me look that up here. Yeah, he was the seventh pick back in 2015. And he made his major league debut the next year. You know, Kansas City will be a good fit for him. You know, he's not a big time power hitter, so going to Kansas City isn't going to, you know, it's not going to hurt his game or anything like that. So it'll work out. You know, it should work out just fine for him, and it may even help his average a little bit. So that's a, you know, that's a good deal. And I don't know what the issue was there in Boston, but for whatever reason, it seems like he had to go. You know, and in return, you know, they get another, it's a, and, you know, Cordero's a left-handed hitting outfielder who will step in. You know, he's supposed to be a big time power hitter, but he's never had a chance to play full time. You know, he played 16 games for the Royals last year and did hit .268. He's just 22. So the Red Sox are kind of on that rebuild course themselves here. You know, Winkowski, he hasn't pitched above A ball. So he's got a little ways to go. We'll see if he develops. He's 22. So, you know, he's probably multiple years away, but it looks like Cordero is going to get a chance to be, you know, an everyday player for the Red Sox. You know, and then Lee is another. All these guys are 22. You know, he spent most of his time in highest level was double A. He did play in the Puerto Rican Winter League this year. He scuffled a little bit, 12 games, hit .196. You know, but we'll see, you know, how it works out and if he develops, you know, into the prospect he is. You know, there's no pressing need for the Mets to land him. So, you know, that'll be a big deal there, you know, someday. But yeah, so they finally made the move. We also had a few other signings. McGee agrees to a deal with the Giants, so he'll be part of that bullpen. It took a little while, but Adam Duvall finds a deal with the Marlins, and finally they worked it out. Yadier Molina is going back to the Cardinals. You know, it took a little bit to get that deal worked out, but they finally did, and you know, Yadi will be in the Cardinal uniform, basically where he belongs. You know, I mean, we don't want to see Yadi playing for anybody else, I don't think, right?
No.
So.
Unless it's the Cubs, but they're not doing anything next year anyway. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, maybe he'll be in a Cub uniform after, you know, they get rid of Contreras. So,
will you be surprised if? I mean, well, and this is just so super hypothetical, and I know you wouldn't know either. But the entire relationship with Yadi, the Cardinals, and such. But do you think that in 10 years, maybe less, we'll see Yadi coaching the Cardinals, managing the Cardinals?
You know,
the two.
It wouldn't surprise me, you know, just because of, you know, who he is and how, you know, the baseball mind that he seems to have. But oddly, I don't believe any of the brothers went into coaching, which is kind of a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I thought for sure, one of them somewhere down the line would be at least a coach, maybe not a manager, but at least some kind of coach. And maybe they are in the minors somewhere, and I just haven't seen it or heard about it yet. So, but yeah, no, that wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up in the dugout as a manager. So, I mean, obviously it wouldn't surprise you, right? And he is only on a 1-year deal, so you got to wonder if maybe this is it for him.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. He could continue to do 1 years until he's just done. I mean,
Yeah, well,
we don't even know how this year is going to play out, so.
just one of those things. But we did get Dan. Here you go. The Pecota predictions came out for this coming season. I'll run them out to you here, division by division. They have the Yankees winning the East. They have an 81% chance to win the division, 97-65. Then it's the Rays at 86-76, the Blue Jays at 85-77, the Red Sox just a little under 500 at 80-82, and then the Orioles at 66-96. Now, Dan, I can buy the Yankees winning the division, and I think they will. Do you buy the Rays in second place with everything that's went on there this offseason? I really thought it would be the Blue Jays.
Nobody has, what do you call it, faith in the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I guess not. It sure doesn't seem like it. So, and then, and we'll roll along here kind of quick. I don't want to get stuck. We go to the AL Central, and this is a little surprising. It's not surprising that they have the Twins winning the division. They have them at 91-71, and they give them a 61% chance to win the division. But then they have the Indians at 86-76, the White Sox at 83-79, the Royals at 71-91, and then the Tigers at 67-95. Dan, to me, this is way too much confidence in the Indians and not enough confidence in the White Sox. Because I mean, the Indians got rid of their best player. Again, they traded Clevinger last year, Carrasco this year. Obviously they still have Bieber coming back, but I don't understand how they're going to win that many games with the team they have together. Do you?
No, I don't. It's just another dig on the White Sox.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
And I'm not even a
yeah,
White Sox
not.
fan, as we all know,
Yeah.
so.
I think they may be a little off. Well, and they're always a little off on these. Their projections are generally notorious under in the win totals. So it won't be a surprise there at all if all these teams outperform this. In the AL West, this no surprise either. They have the Astros winning, 72% chance to win the division at 93-69. The Angels at 87-75. The A's at 80-82, the Mariners at 70-92, and the Rangers at 67-95. Dan, I think I pretty much agree with the order they have here, except maybe I would still have the Mariners in last and the Rangers ahead of them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you on that one.
And then we have now this, you know, this has been, you know, turning out to be probably the most interesting division in Major League Baseball, the National League East, with everything going on. Pecota has the Mets taking it 96-66 with a 77% chance to win it. The Nationals at 85-77, the Phillies at 83-79, the Braves, who have won this division the last 2 years, at 82-80, and then the Marlins falling back to basically where they belong, 68-94. Dan, you got the Braves or see the Braves free falling like this, or are you more of a believer?
I mean, I don't think they'll fall that bad. I wish I had all this up in front of me.
You know, and then we're gonna jump to the NL West, because we'll save the Central for last, because Dan is a Cubs fan. The team, not surprisingly, Pecota predicts to get 100 wins are the Dodgers. Just a 78% chance to win the division, though, but 103-59. The Padres are predicted to have the third most wins at 96-66. Then you get the D-backs at 79-83, the Giants at 75-87, and the Rockies are predicted to have the worst record in baseball at 60-102. You know, Dan, I would probably have the Giants third and Arizona four, but I could, you know, everything else I don't have a problem with there. Do you?
No, and, you know, I laugh because the first time I brought up Pecota to you, you were like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think more so because of the predictions they put out there. So, and that's where I was going with it, is more of the predictions that go out there. And while, you know, I'm like you, I think the Diamondbacks, the Giants, you could flip-flop and either one will kind of still fall in that place. I think the Padres still hit second place, but I mean, a lot of signings, everything that they did in the offseason is going their way. But that doesn't always translate to the regular season. So, and to me, it seems like, you know, I think Yu's a great pitcher. But if you've noticed a small little trend, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like when he switches teams and his environment, it takes him longer to get comfortable and get into a groove. You know, we didn't see the Yu Darvish that we were expecting here in Chicago until he got traded. Go figure. I know there was injuries and stuff. So, I mean, that's my only caveat, I think, is the Padres. While I think they'll land in second, I just don't know if those totals will be there.
Yeah, and here you go, Dan, the best for last, the NL Central, the winner, the Milwaukee Brewers, 55% chance to win the division at 89-73. The Cubs finished second at 85-77. The Cardinals are just a 500 team at 81-81. The Reds find a way to win 79 games. They lose 83, so they finish fourth. And the Pirates, one game better than the Rockies, 61-101. Dan, this is a complete joke, isn't it? What did the Brewers – tell me what the Brewers did to win 89 games, and how the hell are the Cubs going to win 85 with this team?
Big Jack, well, first I have to say, I'm assuming these were the predictions that – whatever group or Facebook page I like that I read this morning while my morning gatherings, you know how that goes. You know, I just seen guys going back and forth just mocking what you said, you know, like with the Brewers. And, you know, is that factored in just because, you know, what's his name isn't opting out this year? You know, did that make that big of a splash? So, I don't know. Well, let's be honest. With these numbers, regardless, no one really deserves to win that division. They should all just be wild card teams. I know you can't do that, but, you know, it's the way it's going to work out. I am completely shocked with the Cubs. I don't know where you're going to get the 85 wins. You don't even have enough starting pitching that would collectively win 30 games, if I'm right. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I think predictions are fun and all, and preferably I like when, you know, obviously when you and I and Schomburg Stu and our other cast of people that used to, you know, do it with us, when we do it, because it's, you know, I don't know. I just feel like we take into a lot, we take in a little bit more than just numbers. But I don't know. I feel like this is the Cardinals' division. I don't see them being 81-81. You know, they got rid of a major, how do I put it nicely and not really knock Dexter Fowler? You know, they've gotten away from him. I think that's going to give them the boost. I don't think he's going to do well. He'll do well in L.A. with his boy Joe Madden. But I think this is a plus. And then the fact that they – I'm confused. Didn't they just sign or trade for Nolan Arenado?
Yep.
What? Okay, it was the Cardinals, right? Because I guess that doesn't make anything. I mean, they still have Paul Goldschmidt, right?
Yep.
And I know he's never really hit the numbers that everyone wanted him once he left Arizona, but I still think this team is better put together than the Cubs or Brewers. And it's not even just a matter of them being put together a little better. It's the fact that even when they don't have a team that you think is going to compete, they're in first place. You know, it's an organizational thing. They always pull it out. Kind of like what the Yankees have done over the last few years. You know, coming up with 27 injuries, but yet they're still winning, you know, the division. So it's just kind of, I don't know. That's why, you know, kind of going back to when I, you know, first shared Pecota with you. When I first shared it, I'm sure you've seen it before that, but and you're like, what the hell is this? And, you know, it's the same thing, just like last year or the year before. You know, the Reds were just going to win 700 games and, you know, run away with – they're not even going to have to face anybody because they were just going to win the World Series. So I don't know why I get a little touchy when it comes to these predictions, but, you know, I think you can agree. Where the hell do they pull these out of?
Yeah, you know, and that's always my biggest question is, you know, where you know, and I mean, I honestly think a lot of it has to do with who you're a fan of. You know, like if you don't like the Cardinals or whoever happens to be there, well, then they end up with a little bit of a downgrade and, you know, for whatever reason, it's just, wow, well, they're not as good as, you know, people think they're going to be. So, that's always a little difficult to, you know, to deal with. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and the tough part is, you know, they're allegedly computer generated, I believe. But obviously somebody put the info into the computer for it to generate it. So.
Well, and I think that's the biggest key right there, Big Jack, is, you know, like you said, someone's got to enter all these numbers in, and someone has to put the formulas together, and most likely it's not a guy who even gives a shit about baseball, which I think that's who you'd want doing it, because he's not going to, you know, put his bias into it. But what are the fields? What are they using to make these predictions? Because let's be honest, if you're incorporating war into this, you're never going to get any sort of accurate prediction. You know, and it just killed me because when I quickly searched, 2021 Pecota projections, the first article that popped up was Forbes.
Yeah.
You know? So I went to a link to that, but let's be honest. If Vegas used any of Pecota numbers, would Vegas still be Vegas?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, if Vegas used Pecota numbers, and you're not a gambling man to begin with, But if you were and you bet, you know, consistently over the last 5 years, and then you find out they're using Pecota projections, I mean, what's the difference between using Vegas or, you know, that shady guy that, you know, in your office that no one, you know, everyone knows, everyone stays away from him. He's always fun at the parties, but yeah, you really can't trust him. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I get a little too worked up on these Pecota projections, I feel like.
Well, you know, and you also have to remember that last year, I believe they had the Cubs in third or fourth place.
Was it?
If I remember correctly. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's very ridiculous, so to speak. You know, with the way those things work out. Oddly, yeah, here, I found some of them. They had the Angels in a wild card spot last year. Didn't happen. They had the Mets and the Reds each winning their division. Didn't happen. They had the Nationals and the Cubs in the wild card spot. Didn't happen. The Cubs won the division. The only thing they actually landed on was they had the Dodgers winning the World Series. That was their big claim to fame. So,
I mean, you could just kind of put that in every year, and eventually you're going to hit, right?
Right.
How many years?
You know, and I mean,
Dodgers?
If you look at the way, you know, the last two seasons of when, it was clear the Dodgers were the favorite.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it that a lot of people wouldn't have picked them. Different, and we do that ourselves sometimes. Well, I'm going to make a cool pick and, you know, see what happens. But yeah, I mean, it was clear the Dodgers were, if not the best team, one of the best teams. So yeah, look what we did. Not a real claim to fame there that, you know, you had the Dodgers, winning it. So, you know, take it easy there, you know, Studley. So, you know, and it's always fun to, you know, throw these out and kind of mess with them because, you know, the reality is that they don't mean anything. It's just kind of humorous, and if you do your own research, you can come up with better predictions. I understand it. Just go, oh hey, yeah, let's go off of what this guy's got. But yeah, if you take a look, I mean, it's going to be difficult for the Brewers to win the Central. Obviously they're going to need Christian Yelich to bounce back. You know, they're going to need Lorenzo Cain to produce after being off the entire season. Colton Wong is a nice add, but, you know, right third baseman is Luis Urias. You know, that's not going to strike your buddy. And, you know, there's still a few starters short. I mean, they have, right now, this is their projected starting rotation, Dan. They have Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, Josh Lindblom, Adrian Hauser, and Eric Lauer. That sounds like a murderer's row, huh?
Super scary. I'm shaking. Well, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
The degrees out, but.
And obviously, the additional Wong and being able to move a Hero to first base, you know, that'll help them out. I'm sure they're praying for the universal DH so they can get Dan Vogelbach's bat in the lineup every day as the left-handed DH. But, you know, I mean, there's so many questions when you look at this team that it's just like, really? They're going to win almost 90 games? So, yeah, okay, great. You know, and then you you compare him to the Cardinals, and obviously losing Wong hurts, but that allows them to move Tommy Edmond to second base, and he'll play every day, and Matt Carpenter will come off the bench. You know, don't forget they still have, you know, Paul DeJong at short. You mentioned Goldschmidt. They added Arenado. Yachty comes back. You know, from all reports, Dylan Carlson is a stud. You know, and he's going to get the everyday job in right field with Fowler gone. You know, Harrison Bader is a great defender. You just got to wonder if he's going to hit. You know, and then Tyler O'Neill has a 30 home run bat in left field. You know, he's not a great average guy, but that doesn't matter anymore in baseball. And then, you know, they've got a, you know, that you heard Milwaukee's rotation, Dan. Here's the Cardinals. Jack Flaherty, Wang Hugh Kim. They brought Adam Wainwright back. They got Carlos Martinez back in the rotation. And then Miles Mikolas comes back from injury. Dan, that sounds like a much better starting rotation to me than Milwaukee's, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, not to mention they may get Dakota Hudson back. He's recovering from Tommy John. I don't know if he may be back after the All-Star break. So, it's just one of those things you want to bitch about, so I'm bitching about it. It's just that simple. So I think they're clueless, and that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you have better luck just picking names out of a hat with the way they do things?
Yeah, you know, I mean, as long as you don't land on the Pirates or the Rockies or the Marlins or the, you know, Tigers or Royals or something like that, yeah, you know, if you actually put in the teams that are, you know, quality. So, you know, I mean, you could just as easily see the Padres winning the West as the Dodgers. I don't think they will, but,
no, I don't,
you know,
think so
either. They're going to be a very good team. So
I guess what you're saying is we're not going to see that Padres White Sox World Series.
According to Pecota, right? It looks like they're going, you know, based off of wins, they're going Dodgers Yankees. So
yeah. Now, you know, and that's something I know we've never done, and I'll have to get that all prepared. We'll have to try that again this year. But, you know, between the four of us, including Mr. Fantasy, we've all been our playoff predictions don't always, you know, go the way we wanted. But, you know, as far as the divisions, we've always been kind of close. And, you know, it's just a matter of picking, you know, who's going to win. We don't pick the actual wins and losses. But it's just interesting that, you know, while using science, so to speak, it just doesn't really give you anything more accurate than what we do.
Well, you know, and humorously, I heard Bomani Jones, who's taken over on the Mickey Mouse Network, basically as the host of Highly Questionable since Dan Le Batard started his own podcast network. He said something kind of interesting when they were talking about baseball yesterday when he said, when is nerds being involved actually improved something? I believe he added athletically. So, you know, and to be fair, it's an interesting question because generally, you know, they're not athletic and they don't perform very well. You know, when they play under those circumstances. But, you know,
you know though,
just kind of the case too.
It's interesting you say that because if you just going off the top of my head, three billionaires that we all love and adore, sarcastic speaking, of course, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and Jeff Bezos. they have more money. They can buy a baseball team by themselves. They don't need to call up Magic Johnson and 25 other people to try to raise the money to buy the team. They could just go under their pillow and pull that money out. Here's $10 billion, Ricketts. Give me those Cubs. And it's kind of going along with what you quoted. Do you think that's a major factor in why guys like those, and while they may fall in that nerd category for what they do you think that's a reason why we don't see tech companies even getting involved in sports?
Yeah, probably to an extent because, they just never really had an interest in it. I doubt that the three guys you named were very athletic growing up. I mean, could be wrong. I don't know much about any of them except that they're, way richer than I'll ever be. But yeah, you do wonder if that's the reason why, they don't have an interest, because on the other hand, Mark Cuban has been trying to buy a baseball team for a long time, and they just don't want to let him in.
Yeah.
So,
Well, he's,
but.
because he's not politically connected enough for them.
Right. Well, that, they realized that he would come in and do everything he could to buy a championship. Because he even said that with the Cubs, he had planned to come in and spend money if they gave him the team.
Well,
So,
you're right. I mean, on the flip side, he would also call out players when they're being jagoffs.
So.
which isn't a bad thing. But no, you're right. And I make the comments about being politically connected because let's be honest, until I really looked into the old man that owns the Bulls and the White Sox, you find out that's part of how everything works for him and how he's gotten everything done is because through political connections. Granted, he hasn't done anything since forever. But it's that, and the same thing with the Cubs. It was that everything with the political connections. His dad was the big Republican old man who apparently still actually uses email but puts the wrong words in his emails. But they also needed to be politically connected because of the neighborhood they're in. And as I was told, I'm wearing a foil hat, and that the lawsuit between the Cubs and the rooftop owners wasn't going to make a difference in how the Cubs spent money. And then the suit got thrown out of court, and then all of a sudden the Cubs magically started spending money. So how coincidental was that, Big Jack? Just a simple man reading a Chicago Tribune, and I figured that out. So, I mean, I don't know, is it like that everywhere? I'm assuming that's a big problem down in Tampa. He wants a bigger
Yeah.
stadium. They weren't, well, that's the voters too. They don't want to pay for that stuff because they all know they're not
Right.
going to go
Yeah.
to
He
the
wants to be paid. He wants a stadium, but doesn't have to pay for it. So,
Yeah. Why would we pay for that? We don't even go.
yeah.
So I don't know. It's just interesting how when you dive a little deeper, and like you said, Mark Cuban would spend that money, and he would, I guess, kind of from what you're saying is I think he would potentially just piss off the other owners because they don't want to spend what he wants to spend.
Right, and he would. If the NBA didn't have a salary cap, he would pay guys enormous amounts to win championships because that's what he wants to do. So, and I mean, that's got to be one of those things. I mean, you got to love if you're a fan of that team. It's got to be great to have him as an owner because he's going out there trying to win. So.
Well, and Dallas isn't too bad to watch right now, so.
Oh, but all right. Well, let's change it up a little here, Dan, because I know, I'm not sure if you're paying attention because your driver retired, but believe it or not, the Daytona 500 is Sunday. They had qualifying yesterday, and two Hendrick drivers end up on the front row. We get Alec Bowman on the pole, and William Byron will start next to him. You know, this is the seventh year in a row that a Hendrick engine starts on the pole. Last year, Ricky Stenhouse won the pole. He's not a Hendrick driver, but they get their engines from Hendrick. So it kind of qualifies. They have the, what is it tonight? The Clash? Is it whatever race they have tonight, it's to determine remaining starting positions. You know, Bowman and Byron are locked in. Yeah, it's the Clash. Sure, no, it's not. It's the Duels. The Clash was Tuesday night, which Kyle Busch won. I actually watched that. The Duels are tonight. There are two duels to decide who starts where and how it's going to work out, with the exception of Bowman and Byron. Did you remember this, Dan? Have you watched any of it? And, of course, do you have a new driver yet?
I didn't remember any of it. No new driver yet. So we'll have to, I'll just have to ride it out, so to speak, and see who my guy is. I might get influenced by my brother-in-law, but not my sister-in-law.
Well, it depends who your brother-in-law roots for. Who does he root for?
Yeah, well, I don't remember. I'll have to ask him again, but I know whenever my sister-in-law says who she's rooting for, I'm like, hmm.
And then you automatically root.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, like, she likes one Bush brother. I'm like, well, I like the other one.
Well, you know, it's odd because generally they're two of the most hated guys. So the fact that, you know, she likes them at all is, you know, interesting. And
I'm like, I actually like them.
I actually like Kyle. I'm only kind of hurt, but, like, I don't have as big a problem with Kyle as everybody else does. But, you know, it's just, one of those things. They actually do have the first race actually kicks off tomorrow, but it's the Truck Series. The Camping World Truck Series is at Daytona. And then on Saturday, we'll get the Xfinity Series race. So, you know, there will be stuff to watch, you know, at Daytona under the lights all weekend when it comes to NASCAR. So it can take the place of football until baseball starts, right?
Yep, exactly. Well, you know, the nice thing with NASCAR, though, is it's general. You know, it's like football, but they only have one game. No, I just like the way they schedule things because it's always, you know, it's very – it always throws you off when there's a Saturday night race because you're like, oh, crap, I thought it was on tomorrow.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, you can count on it being on at a certain time. So you just have to remember the channel lineup breakdown when they switch over.
Yeah, and, you know, well, I will be interested to see what they do with it when, you know, NBC gets rid of the sports network because that ends this year. So I'm wondering if they'll, you know, show the races on USA, one of the other networks, or if you'll have to get Peacock to see the NASCAR race in the future.
Oh, I didn't know they were completely eliminating the sports network.
Yeah, it goes away after this year. They already announced it. They announced it last month that they were eliminating it, and I was, wow, it's a little early in the year for you guys just to decide to, you know, crap this whole thing, but okay. And, yeah, you know, and they mentioned that they would move some of the programming to their other stations. So I do wonder how that affects, you know, wrestling and the other stuff they show. But, well, you know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
Huh, that's interesting, because they did finally update it to where if you pay for NBC Gold, and that's probably the problem, is they, you know, they had that NBC Gold that you can upgrade to, but I'll be honest, Big Jack, I looked into it, and I would literally watch nothing that was on NBC Gold.
Yeah.
You know, and then this year I noticed when I opened the app, and if you add, you know, if you were to add on NBC Gold, you actually get to see a couple other markets. Of course, you know, Comcast is based in Philadelphia, so you'd get the Philly sports, not the football, I don't think. And you'd get their pre- and post-game shows, which, you know, it just adds a little extra value, you know. You wouldn't get their full programming, but and there was another, and I think Washington, you get Washington too. So for me, I was like, oh, I might think about it. But I don't know how much Washington basketball I would be watching. Maybe a little bit more hockey. But I had an idea for hockey, so.
Watch your guy Bradley Beal. So
I know.
You know, that would be
now that we're all gone, you know, right, going to get better.
Yeah, you know, right up your alley. Do they play the Bulls again tomorrow night? Is that the schedule? Did I see that right? Or I can't remember. No, the Bulls are playing the Clippers. For some reason, I thought they were playing again. I was like, good Lord. So,
you know, it's funny, Big Jack. You know, we complain so much. Not complain, but, you know, the fact that the players complain about needing more time off, yet they play like once or twice a week. With these fast schedules, I'm like, damn, the Bulls are on again tonight? Didn't they just play? You know, it is kind of nice, but it's actually an adjustment because you really can't keep up with it anymore. You know, I watched the Blackhawks, you know, Monday night, you know, whatever day of the week it was, and then I forgot that they were playing the next day because in my head they're not playing, you know, till Wednesday or Thursday. And then all of a sudden, my phone goes off and I get the horn when they score a goal. And I'm like, oh, they're playing again tonight? And they scored, you know, so.
Yeah, well, you know, tonight, you know, it's the NBA on TNT. They have Miami at Houston. Hopefully Jimmy Butler will play. I know he's been banged up. He's on my fantasy team. I need him to get rolling. And then the night game is Philadelphia at Portland. The other games are Toronto at Boston, Indiana at Detroit, and then Orlando at Golden State. So that's your, you know, that's your NBA slate tonight. I believe the Blackhawks do play tonight, Dan. If you want to catch up on that, let me get the schedule to pop up here for me, and I. Let you know for sure. Yeah, they are hosting Columbus tonight. Pretty good slate of NHL games, but nothing on NBC, the sports network. We got Pittsburgh at the Islanders, Tampa Bay at Florida. Of course, I mentioned Columbus at Chicago, Detroit at Nashville, Edmonton at Montreal, Ottawa at Winnipeg, Carolina at Dallas, Calgary at Vancouver, Anaheim at Las Vegas, and San Jose at the LA Kings. If you do have the Mickey Mouse Plus, yeah, I can't say that fast, you can watch either the Penguins and the Islanders or the Oilers and the Canadiens. So a lot of hockey. But, you know, they're trying to squeeze the season in with just those 54 games, so we're getting a lot of games.
It does make it challenging now, Big Jack. You know, more so when it comes to sports, not having dedicated cable service because, you know, without I use Sling, and Sling only has NBC Sports. You don't get your local. So, you know, I have to go to the NBC Sports app to get the local. And, you know, you just kind of forget about that. It's not as convenient as you'd like. You know, I have Apple TV, and on your phone, you know, they say you can connect and watch this stuff through Apple TV. But if you go to Apple TV, you still have to click on the app and open it. I'm like, I thought you guys integrated it and you were trying to make my life easier.
Luckily we still have the local stuff here, because I don't even know why. It's just whatever my roommate Yula's there, so I'm like, okay, that's fine. I don't care as long as I can watch, you know, as long as I can watch what I need to watch. So.
I mean, I still use the sports app and get those games in, but you know, that's one of the things that I found with the NFL season. Well, until the Bears were on CBS, you know, Fox is one of my networks, so I, you know, it's, you get kind of used to it. I don't know. It's nice. It definitely has its pluses and its minuses, you know, or negatives. You pay a little less, but then you pay what you get for. So.
There always seems to be a catch, you know, no matter what
But,
it is.
Big Jack, if you are a wrestling fan, all you need is Sling TV. You literally have wrestling every single night of the week. I
Well,
mean, I think I.
you don't even need that anymore. I don't know if you have you ever checked out the Pluto TV app?
No.
They have added a wrestling channel where it's just 24 hours of different independent wrestling.
What? Oh, I actually have to check that out. But no, I mean, you know, when it comes to the major network, the big shows, you know, on Sling TV, I mean, I don't remember the schedule, but you know, we have that Stadium Channel. Stadium Channel has, I think, Rings of Honor, and
Ring of
then
Honor, yeah.
Impact is on an Impact is on another channel. The AEW, the WWE, I mean, there's something every day of the week. The only thing missing is Lucha, but you know,
Oh,
it's
that's okay.
Lucha.
Again, if you go to Pluto TV, they have Stadium. They also have the Impact channel, and they do have a Lucha Libre channel as well.
Oh.
So if you're a wrestling fan, you need Pluto TV. Well,
Sounds like it.
you know, it's just the thing. I watched a little of the wrestling channel the other day, and it was a fed out of, I think it was Seattle. And the one guy who's now in AEW, MJF, was wrestling. He was wrestling a guy called by the name of Randy Myers, whose tagline, you know, everybody's got a nickname. He was the weirdo hero, huge fan favorite. Guessing just from the looks of it, he was playing the character gay. I believe that was the shtick because he did kiss some dude in the crowd, and then he kissed MJF in
Oh.
the match. So I'm under the impression he was playing it as a gay character. I don't know if he, you know, is in real life or anything like that. First time I had ever saw him. But they, you know, they had a, you know, they had a pretty good match for, you know, the indie level, and MJF is really good if you've ever seen him wrestle. But yeah, other than that, I haven't talked about too much more of it. You know, maybe now that we're kind of in that dead season, I'll see a little more of it, but you know, who knows?
I will say, Big Jack, as indie wrestling goes, one of the most fun was the nerd. You know, you said weirdo, and we had our nerd, and you know, just really, you know, cool guy, but just the gimmick, the fans, the kids loved it, the fans loved it. So I got him to do the Hulk up on me.
So if you take the time to stop and listen to this live, well, thank you very much for doing that. But remember, if you want to listen to the podcast anytime you want, I'm going to
Horse Ham Radio.